The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight, we're diving straight into the deep end with H.G. Tudor, an individual whose story flips the script on everything you thought you knew about narcissism. Picture this, a self-proclaimed narcissistic psychopath who not only knows he's different, but decides to broadcast it to the world. Yes, H.G. Tudor isn't just another expert. He's the subject and the scholar, all wrapped in one. He writes, he speaks, he teaches, all from the horse's mouth, or should I say, the lion's den. Imagine having the playbook of someone who's always 10 moves ahead, not just in chess, but in the game of life, manipulation, and control. That's what Tudor brings to the table. Over 40 books and countless videos later, he's not shy about sharing his insights, ranging from the dark corners of personal relationships to the glaring spotlight on public figures. Tonight's discussion isn't your run-of-the-mill psychology lecture. It's a front-row seat to the workings of a mind that operates outside the bounds of what many consider normal. We're not just scratching the surface, we're going all in. From the genetic intricacies to the environmental factors that mold a narcissist, Tudor's narrative invites us to reconsider our perspectives, scrutinize our beliefs, and potentially see the world through a new lens. And it's not all dark clouds and thunderstorms. Amidst the tales of manipulation and control lies the potential for profound insight, a chance to armor up against emotional vampirism, and to peek behind the curtain at what drives the Toms, Megans, and Borises of the world. So, buckle up. Tonight promises a journey where maps are redrawn, compasses spin wildly, and where the guidebook is written by someone who's navigated the territory firsthand. Let's get ready to meet H.G. Tudor in a conversation that's as much a mirror to our societal fascinations as it is a window into the mind of an ultra-narcissist.
Welcome to Veritas. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And now, here's your host, Mel Hostelrich.
His website is narcsite.com. And directly from the United Kingdom, I'd like to welcome H.G. Tudor. Hello, H.G., and welcome to Veritas.
Hello, Mel. Thank you for inviting me along.
It's my pleasure. Well, H.G., can you take us back to that moment you realized, hey, I'm a narcissist? What flipped the switch for you?
The time where I became aware of that label in relation to me was following a discussion that I had with a former girlfriend of mine post-university. And she had explained that she believed that I was both narcissist and psychopath. And I said to her, that's very interesting. Why do you reach that conclusion? And so she then explained in a non-judgmental way why she formed that view, and I listened. And much of what she said resonated with me. And after she'd explained herself, I said, well, that's all very interesting. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I must be about other matters now. And away I went, and I undertook some more reading and realized that does make sense. Of course, that was when I had an awareness of the label that was applicable to me. But I'd known since an earlier stage that I was different to other people. I knew that I didn't think and function in the way that they did, but I didn't have a label for it. So if you like, the flicking of the switch was the discussion or information that was provided to me by that girlfriend at that time.
So you never suspected this growing up? And if you did, was there a previous trigger growing up?
Well, I didn't suspect that I was a narcissist because I wasn't familiar with the term time when I was a teenager, for example. And as I mentioned, I knew that I behaved differently. I knew, for instance, that I found it entertaining to play people off against one another. And recognized that I became bored very quickly and I needed things to stimulate me. I recognized, particularly by reference to my brother and my sister, that I didn't think or behave in a similar way to them. And so I recognized that I was different. It was just that I didn't have a particular label to associate with that.
This whole debate about being born with it or shaped into it, where do you stand? Are narcissists molded by their experiences, or is it all in the genes?
Well, like many things that forge the way that a person behaves, it's a combination of the two, Mel. There is a genetic predisposition towards being receptive to being a narcissist, and then that becomes allied with what I describe as a lack of control environment. The fundamental thing that a narcissist seeks, usually subconsciously, is the need for control, to assert control over other people, to nullify what the narcissist perceives as a threat to their control. And that's done in lots of different ways, but it's all through various manipulations, some benign, some malign. And the lack of control environment is the sort of crucible in which the narcissist is forged. There needs to be that genetic predisposition. There needs to be that susceptibility to narcissism. And then bring that together with a lack of control environment, a narcissist is then created. So if you liken it to the baking of a cake, you need your ingredients and you need an oven at the right temperature for the right period of time, and your cake will be baked. If you have the oven but no ingredients, no cake. If you have your ingredients but the oven keeps getting switched on and off, the cake keeps getting taken in and out of the oven, it won't bake. So you might have somebody who's got the genetic predisposition but never experiences a lack of control environment, thus no narcissist. You might have somebody that is in a lack of control environment, but they don't have the genetic predisposition, thus no narcissist. The lack of control environment covers physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional neglect, a parent that's absent. That might be the child lives in a nice house and is warm and fed, but the child has no emotional guidance and support. It can cover an environment where the child is in a gilded environment, where everything's done for them. They're told they're special, they're brilliant, when in actual fact they're not. They never learn to exert their own control to achieve things. So there's lots of different types of lack of control environment. But the creation of a narcissist comes down to those two factors. So there's the genetic and there's the environment.
You often talk about fuel. It sounds like the lifeblood for our narcissist. Can you break down what it really is for you? What keeps the engine running?
Well, I call it fuel because that's the most apt description that exists for this. Fuel is essentially validation or emotional attention that's given by another party. So if somebody says to me, I love you, HG, that gives me fuel. If somebody buys me a birthday present, that's fuel. If somebody punches me, that's fuel. The fact is that where somebody acknowledges my existence through some form of response, action, words that they say, that provides the narcissist with fuel, recognition that they exist. And as I set out in my book, Fuel, there are different amounts of fuel, different potencies of fuel, different frequencies of fuel that are provided by people. And that fuel enables, you've described it as the lifeblood, which is entirely apt, that enables the narcissist to function in effect. So it starts to fill up the emptiness within the narcissist. It settles that sense of anxiety that might be experienced, causes the narcissist to have a nagging sense of impending doom. It's pouring oil on troubled waters. And the more fuel that the narcissist receives, that sense of doom, the earth collapsing in on them, that recedes, and the narcissist starts to feel more settled and then feels more powerful, filling up, feeling this sort of almost effervescence provided by it. And then as they receive even more fuel, they will start to feel particularly powerful, invulnerable, that they'll be able to take on any challenge, almost fizzing with a form of what would look like excitement. And so externally, as that fuel fills up for that narcissist, it looks like the individual might be happy or joyous or excited, but that's actually just the outward manifestation of the receipt of this fuel. And the fuel powers the narcissist. It gives them a sense of purpose. So I say it settles the emptiness that's within them, starts to fill them up, and gives them that power, that sensation of power to go about what they need to go about, which is the pursuit of the prime aims, which is controlling people, gathering more fuel, gathering character traits, and gathering residual benefits. Those four things are what I call the prime aims, which is what every narcissist consciously or more usually subconsciously pursues from people.
It's interesting how you said, somebody punches me, that's fuel. So it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative recognition. It's just being that's recognized.
Right. Absolutely. I created a video on my YouTube channel and a blog article, which was Love Me, Hate Me, Never Ignore Me. So ignoring a narcissist is a form of death sentence because it starves us as fuel and it threatens our need for control. Say that you love me, you're giving me what I call positive fuel. You're showing that you're under control and you're giving me fuel. So that's not a problem. If you punch me, you're giving me fuel, but you're also challenging me. You're threatening my need for control. So there's something I must do about that. But for instance, you can have positive fuel. So somebody laughs at a joke that I make, or let's say somebody cries because I've been nasty to them. Their tears are negative fuel, but also that validates my existence because I have made them cry. And the fact that one can pull a negative response from somebody is even more potent than a positive one because that's harder to achieve. It's easier to make somebody smile. It's harder to make somebody cry. And that's why negative fuel to us is more potent. But somebody punching a narcissist provides them with fuel because it's a response to the existence of the narcissist, and the narcissist prompts them. It basically tells the narcissist, you exist, you matter.
Ultra-narcissism is new to me. It's 101. Mm-hmm. So let's get into this ultra-narcissist term. Sounds like a superhero status in the world of narcissism. What sets you apart from the rest?
Two factors. The first, the level of personal insight that I have to understand myself and the way that I function, the way that I tick. And then the fact that I convey this information to other people to allow them to understand the way that I am and the way that my kind are in a way that enables people to grasp the topic. I don't use scientific or psychological terms. I utilize my own lexicon to help people understand it more readily. So the term ultra-narcissist, which is applicable to me, is because of the level of insight that I have into me and my kind and the fact that I'm conveying this information to people.
Let's talk about the social media role that we see. With everyone glued to their screens, do you think social media is churning out narcissists or just feeding the beast for those who already are?
Social media does a number of things. It certainly feeds the beast, as you've described it as, because it allows the narcissist to have a number of virtual fishing rods out there in cyberspace, hooking people all around the world. That there is the ability to connect with somebody at any time of day or night, in any location, and multiple people at once. So it extends the reach of the narcissist. It also allows the narcissist, of course, to do so without necessarily allowing the other person to know the full facts of what they are, because they can, portray any particular image that they wish through the internet, particularly initially. It also caters in terms of speed, the fact that a response can be obtained from a thumbs up, a like, a follow, that gives that little dose of fuel to the narcissist. So social media certainly acts to feed the beast. What it also does is it makes it easier for the narcissist to move amongst the non-narcissists, because putting yourself on a platform in itself is a narcissistic act that it engages in the showmanship, and there's a degree of vanity and pride involved in it. Now, just because somebody has a social media profile, that naturally does not mean that they are a narcissist, but it caters towards your narcissistic traits to think, what I do is so important that the world ought to know about it. And where one would be brutally honest, there's only a small number of people who what they do is of real interest to the rest of the world. And the idea that you think that you, Tom Smith of Acacia Avenue, that your evening meal would be of interest to anybody is rather narcissistic and self-indulgent. And accordingly, of course, the narcissist does behave that way. But because there are then millions of other people behaving in a similar fashion, it means that many of the things that the narcissist does don't stand out as much as they ought to do so. So take, for example, the selfie. That originated from narcissists. Here's an opportunity for me to take a picture of myself really easily in front of whatever monument it might be, or at a particular event or in a particular place, and then I'll slap it in social media. And then non-narcissists saw this and thought, oh, that looks like quite a good thing to do. So they started doing it too. And therefore, what is an intrinsic behavior that originated from narcissists, because it's all about look at me and give me validation, entered the mainstream. And therefore, the act of creating a selfie doesn't immediately stand out to people as being the act of a narcissist. It becomes normalized. And you see this with so much behavior that goes on social media. It originates from the narcissist, but then becomes normalized and mainstream. So it enables us to fit in more readily. So social media doesn't create the narcissist. What it does is it can make people behave in a more narcissistic way, because it facilitates it, and the herd mentality causes people to engage in that. I'm going to do, like for a teenager, I'm going to do everything that my friend's doing because I want to fit in. So they behave in a more narcissistic way. But it's certainly a hunting ground and a facilitator for existing narcissists. It also enables us to move unidentified more readily, because much of our behaviors start to become normalized.
But take somebody who becomes an alcoholic, for example. They have to begin mm-hmm. by looking at a bottle of alcohol and making that first step to pour a drink. Wouldn't social yep. media be the same thing?
No, unless, of course, you've got somebody who is very young who's starting with social media. Social media is not the cause of narcissism. A genetic predisposition and a lack of control environment is what creates narcissism. Imbibing alcohol and becoming reliant upon it to the extent that it interferes with your ability to function in a normal fashion is similarly with alcoholism. You've got to have that predisposition to be an alcoholic and then, of course, take alcohol. And so there are plenty of people who drink who are not alcoholics. And so the fact that they took that first drink did not make them an alcoholic. The alcoholic was an alcoholic before they started drinking. They just didn't know it. There is something about their personality which makes them more susceptible to it. And thus, they start to drink. With the narcissist who created at a young age. And invariably, most narcissists have been created by the time that they get to social media, because that window of creation is below the age of 10. Now, there will be some younger people and that age that will utilize social media. But social media isn't what makes them a narcissist. It is a symptom of their narcissism and a conduit for their narcissism.
Can a narcissist like you have genuine relationships, or is it all just smoke and mirrors? Can there be something real beneath the strategy?
There is no genuine relationship, because the nature of the relationship is all about what it provides to us. So, as I have explained on many occasions before, and my descriptions get utilized by other people who talk about narcissism, I refer to people as being like toasters. So I put bread in that toaster. I turn the dial to the appropriate level as to how well done I want my toast, or how, if I just wanted like warmed bread, it gets popped down, I wait.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasradio.com. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. Subscribe now. To listen to the rest and all of our exclusive material, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or join the Veritas Plus family by subscribing. Click on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for focused life force energy. Get a 15-day free trial today with no credit card required. And if you want to get in touch with Mel, want to be a guest on this radio program, have a guest suggestion, or have feedback, just click on the contact button on our website at veritasradio.com. Now, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or subscribe to listen to the rest of the interview. You don't want to miss it, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasradio.com.